10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
If your chest's out, Mets fans, today you get to talk all the talk. And it doesn't matter what's going to happen in October. It doesn't matter where this thing ends. Because right now, if you're a Mets fan, this is one of those rare times where you get to spend as long as you want, yelling as much as you want to everybody that walks by wearing any Yankees gear. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Obviously, this is the voice of neither of those. It's Jason Fitz hanging out with Amber Wilson. We are going to get you caught up on everything you need to know for the next several hours. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. And Amber, I mean, all eyes were on New York last night. All eyes were on the Mets and the Yankees. And now today, Twitter is all aglow as Mets fans everywhere are getting theirs off. And frankly, as a fan of a team that sucked for most of my life, I appreciate this. Like, when your team is finally good and you beat the big brother, the little brother in me loves every ounce of the trash talking that's happening today for Mets fans.
It's regular season baseball, right? But no Mets fan wants to hear that. You know, you don't care if it's 2-162. It doesn't matter. Jeff Passan was on with us yesterday on this show, and he said, you know, really, I mean, we're overreacting to a game here and there. But if you're in New York, being the kings of New York right now for the New York Mets, it's something that they have waited for a really long time. And you're talking about a Subway Series. It's the first time that both of these teams have been first in their division since 2015. Everything felt like it was on the line. Even the atmosphere at Citi Field, it was like a World Series, Fitz. And I have no problem with the Mets fan taking the victory lap, even though, yes, it is July still, and it is the regular season. It ain't October yet. It doesn't matter. It feels like October. Revel in it. It also feels like you're going to be very squarely in the mix in October if you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, and in fairness, I mean, Passan saying we're overreacting, like, two things here. Number one, you could absolutely you could accidentally punch Jeff Passan in the face and he would still be like, relax, everything's fine. Like, he's even keel at everything he does. The second part of this is it's New York. Like, you sit at a traffic light for a tenth of an extra second and somebody's honking at you and insulting your mom. So, like, the thought that we're actually overreacting doesn't surprise me at all. And I will counter one Jeff Passan, because if you believe the hype, you want more hype, Mets fans. Buster Olney, ESPN Major League Baseball insider, said this about the Mets this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I do think that as DeGrom comes back, and that's the plan, he's going to make his return to the big leagues sometime in the middle of next week after missing more than a calendar year. I do think there are questions about, you know, what he's going to be when he returns. You know, is he the guy who is going to, you know, throw 100 miles per hour and then break down at some point? We don't know. You hope he goes back to being what he was in the past. I suspect that between now and the trade deadline, you'll see the Mets make some moves, go out and add a hitter of some kind, somebody with some positional flexibility, maybe add a reliever. I know that they have some excitement about what they're seeing out of Trevor May, but you're 100% right. As long as they add some more home run power, that team has the look of a team that could win the World Series.
No.
They have the look.
ESPN Radio. I mean, yeah, that is, Amber, that is such the right, they have the look of a team that could win the world. What does that even mean? But, I mean, still, if you're a Mets fan, you're doing cartwheels for that very reaction.
Yeah, listen, all you need is the look when we're talking about July, and all you needed was the look against the New York Yankees. If you're a Mets fan, you feel real good. And what's interesting about DeGrom coming back, and we don't know, it's all going to come down to how he looks, right? How healthy he looks. He didn't look great in his last rehab start, but they're still hoping that his next start is in the majors. So everything's still right on track, despite what just happened in his last rehab start, which I believe was on Wednesday for AAA Syracuse. It all comes down down to what he looks like. If he's the Jacob DeGrom that we remember, then absolutely the Mets are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the postseason. We saw what Scherzer looked like last night. It looked pretty darn good, Fitz, but it is going to come down to the health. And then what they do here in terms of we're up against the trade deadline as we head towards 6 p.m. on August 2nd. You saw the Yanks make a move after this game last night, after game two of this Subway Series last night. You knew the Yankees were going to be desperate and make moves, but you heard Bolster only just say the Mets has something up their sleeve as well. I would imagine both of these teams, though, are going to be in the mix in the postseason. And it was funny because Pete Alonso said after this game last night that he did know that these teams had faced off in a World Series before, but it was a long, long time ago. It was the year 2000, Jason Fitz. Do you feel old?
Oh, my God.
A long, long time ago, according to Pete Alonso.
Are you ready to just feel antiquated? I was out in L.A. last week for the Gatorade High School Athlete of the Year Awards that they gave around the ESPYs. And so I was out there doing a Snapchat show, SportsCenter on Snap. Go check it out, everybody. And we were talking to all the kids that were nominated, the high school seniors that were nominated for Athlete of the Year. So we decided we'd ask them some trivia questions from around the time they were born to see, you know, kind of where their knowledge of pop culture was at that time. Now, some of it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me that none of them knew what Napster was and none of them had ever heard of that sort of thing. What did surprise me, the one question I asked every kid was, can you name two members of NSYNC? And I thought everybody would get one. Only one of the roughly 30 kids I talked to had ever even heard of NSYNC. The rest of them didn't even know they existed. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, man, this was like one of the biggest bands alive when you were born. And now, like, it's like, I've never heard of it. I kept saying, I was like, Justin Timberlake. And a bunch of the kids were like, he was in a band?
But they all knew who he was, right? Because that would be the barometer for me. I actually wouldn't be that shocked if they didn't know that Justin Timberlake was once in a band called NSYNC. Because I get confused when we talk about, you know, people who were artists before us. I mean, you probably don't have this problem since you were in music for so long. But I do think that it's realistic. Like, who was in that group back then and then went and made a name for themselves individually as an artist? I do understand that as long as they knew who Justin Timberlake was. If they don't know who Justin Timberlake was, I'm out on kids.
These days. he's still putting out songs. That's got to be part of it. I don't know.
He's still in movies, right? Yeah. I mean, he's still a big star. You think, and, right? Oh man, we sound old. I'm pretty sure.
Like from the movie side, only a couple of them knew anything about Napoleon Dynamite. I kept asking if anybody could give me a quote or impersonation from Napoleon Dynamite, and they were like, no, Mean Girls was the one thing that did cut through. They all remembered Mean Girls. So, you know, on Wednesdays, we wear pink. In the meantime, Max Scherzer, by the way, had a great birthday party last night. It was his 38th birthday. You mentioned it early. Mm-hmm. He looked like he had the best cake and ice cream of all time before that game started because he came out with a little pep in his step. He absolutely owned Aaron Judge for the evening. Like, it was a masterful performance from somebody that obviously got all the birthday treats coming into the game. And, you know, as much as we want to talk about everybody else, when he plays that well, when he pitches that well, I don't know how you beat that version of him.
Scherzer walked off the mound the last time that he struck out Aaron Judge with a little grin on his face. Like, you could see it peeping through there. And I thought, man, he is feeling himself, and he should be feeling himself. He was wheeling and dealing out there. He was a straight assassin against Aaron Judge last night. You love to see that matchup, right? That's the matchup that we're all waiting for every time Judge goes to the plate against Scherzer. And you got a lot of that last night. And again, that atmosphere was just unbelievable. Definitely a World Series atmosphere in those moments. And then Max Scherzer said something after the game that made him sound really old. Since we sound like old people right now talking about NSYNC, he was talking about PitchCom. Now, Fitz, PitchCom is the use of electronics to relay signs from the catcher to the pitcher and vice versa. And what it does is it totally obviates sign stealing because it's technology. It's the utilization of technology. What surprised me is that Scherzer said after the game that he had used PitchCom to prepare. So he had used it at one point against the Yankees in this Subway Series. And what he said is, here's what I'll say on PitchCom. It works. Does it help? Yes. But I also think it should be illegal. I don't think it should be in the game. Stealing signs is part of the game. For me, I've always taken pride in having a complex system of signs and having the advantage over pitchers. He went on to defend sign stealing even more. I thought it was really interesting that you have a pitcher, an ace out there, coming off of those moments from last night and then talking about how he's advocating essentially for sign stealing. Like, it's part of the game with these unwritten rules, and technology is just going to ruin the ability for the other team to try to steal my signs. I thought that was really wild to hear from him after the game.
Yeah, and it is. You're right. Sort of that old man moment when you come in and phrase it like that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. And Mets fans obviously got a little extra trash talking in their bag last night because Andrew Benintendi was acquired from the Kansas City Royals right afterwards. It's hard not to feel like, hey, having some issues, need some better production, need outfield help. All of a sudden you go out and you get an all-star right after you lose to the Mets. I mean, all of this is feeding it. And I can hear Yankees fans already screaming about the past. I have to remind everybody, I could not care less about what your favorite team did in 1980. Like, I grew up a Raiders fan, right? The fact that they were the most dominant team of the 60s or 70s and one of the most dominant, let me say it that way, doesn't mean a damn thing right now. So for all the Yankees fans that are going to get up on the Mets today and say, oh, what about this one? Nope. Right now, what we know is the Subway Series was just a clean sweep for the Mets. Two wins there. So I'm all in on the Mets talking their talk and getting their walk on. We'll keep you updated on the Subway Series, obviously. But in 30 seconds, we got to ask this question. Is playing without a new contract worth it in the NFL? We'll dive into NFL training camps and a trend that's happening right now that everybody needs to be aware of. But first, Amber has this from Cheerios. Oh my God, Cheerios are such a delight, Amber. I can't even tell you.
They're
how
such a delight. I really appreciate you stalling for me because I forgot that I'm the one doing the live reads. So I appreciate all this stalling. I'm really fired up about Cheerios. And if I had had my Cheerios this morning, I would have already had this live read in the bag. If you're on the go, you might be skipping eating the healthy way like I did this morning because I messed up by not having my Cheerios, which is probably making you feel a bit more sluggish these days. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with heart-healthy Honey Nut Cheerios. Mm. Made with the whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provides 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart into today. It's oh so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store, and you will not forget your live reads.
Oh.
Well played with the NSYNC, Javonta.
On ESPN Radio. Well played getting us the NSYNC coming in here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Jason Fitz, Amber Wilson in for the guys. And look, there's a real reason for plenty of players to say bye-bye-bye right now to their respective teams if they don't have the contracts they want. But there's a new phenomenon happening this year that I think everybody's seeing a lot of. And DK Metcalf is a great example of one of the more recent examples of this in the sense that he's a hold-in. Now, we all remember holdouts for years where somebody wasn't happy with their contract and they would just stay away, right? They would stay away from a camp and they would say, find me, I don't care. A lot of people didn't realize at the time is when you finally signed your deal, the team would come in and reimburse you for those fines. So you weren't actually paying any fines. There was no reason not to hold out. Well, in the new collective bargaining agreement, when they negotiated it, they made the fines incredibly harsh, and they made them last no matter what. So now, instead, you've got hold-ins, which is the equivalent of a kid showing up to the basketball court with everybody. He's got the ball, and he just sits on it, and he says, not today, Fat Jesus. I'm not moving till I get my money. I'm all in for this for players, but it raises, Amber, a real question of what Lamar Jackson should do as he goes into Baltimore. Like, every time you take a snap, you put your body at risk. He would have the ultimate leverage if he came in, just sat on the ball and said, no, I'm not going anywhere.
And it doesn't seem like that's been Lamar Jackson's MO up to this point, right? Because we would have expected him, frankly, Fitz, to have a deal in place a year ago. And here we are with Lamar Jackson representing himself. And it stands to reason, frankly, that if he had an agent, he probably would have already had a deal in place. This is highly unusual how he's conducted these negotiations. And we have heard from the Ravens multiple times that it's Lamar, that they're on Lamar's timeline, that it's him who hasn't been necessarily proactive in negotiating with them, which is really, really interesting. Because normally it would be the other way around, because like you said, you wouldn't want to go out there and risk your body, not even in training camp, if you don't have a deal in place, which is why you have these players like the Deebo Samuels of the world doing the hold-in. It all changed under that new CBA. Players now, you mentioned the fines, $50,000 per day missed. So hefty fines. And then that whole, like, the NFL waiving those fines when you do work out a deal thing. Well, that was all nixed under the new collective bargaining agreement. So that's why these guys are actually showing up. But I tend to agree with you. If you're Lamar Jackson, why would you ever put your body at risk for 1 second before you have a deal in place? It is unheard of for a player of his caliber at his position to be headed into the final year of his rookie deal.
Hear me out, though, Amber. And I think one of the reasons I love working with you is because not only are you brilliant, but you've got, you know, legal background. So you understand, like, where my mind goes so often. Because I am still that kid. Like, I'm the kid that pushes on my glasses. And I'm like, well, actually, you know, like, that's me. I'm a nerd through and through. I well, actually, this moment sometimes with Lamar, because precedent exists for quarterbacks to get paid essentially no matter what happened. And once you hit a new precedent with the contract, that's the new floor, not the new ceiling in my mind. And so if I'm Lamar Jackson and I'm looking around saying, well, I don't really have the deal I want. What I can say is that over the last few months, we've seen massive money go out. Every one of those has created a new floor for Lamar. Now, you could argue, well, Lamar doesn't want to put his body at risk. And I've thought that a lot. But then I keep thinking about Deshaun Watson, who hasn't played, who has all of these things against him, and he gets the largest contract fully guaranteed we've ever seen, right? So it's massive amounts of money. I'm looking at Lamar thinking, I don't know that there's anything that can happen this year. Poor play, injury, any of it, that will change the fact that a quarterback-needy team next year, the Ravens or somewhere else, will give him epic, life-changing, oh-my-God money. So why not go out there and play, because all you're going to do is send your value up if you continue to absolutely crush it. I think even if Lamar stinks this season, he will still get a record-setting contract next year.
I agree with you that every contract typically sets the floor. Kyler Murray's deal probably doesn't look nearly as shocking in a couple years because that television money is just now rolling in, and these deals will continue to increase for that quarterback position and size. I agree with you, except for Deshaun Watson. He might be the outlier. He might be the exception to that rule, Fitz. And the reason for that is because the Browns were in such an unusual situation when they handed him that contract. Deshaun Watson, he didn't want to go to Cleveland. He seemingly wanted to go to Atlanta, but there were several other suitors he was considering. The Cleveland Browns were out, remember? And then what did they do to talk him into going there? Well, they threw $230 million guaranteed dollars at him in order to talk him into going there. That's the desperation of a franchise that has been looking for a franchise quarterback for decades on end. So if Lamar is out for an entire season, presumably there's still a market for him. I absolutely agree with you there. I don't know if it's a Deshaun Watson type of market, unless he finds himself in the unique position of a franchise that ends up as desperate as the Cleveland Browns were to pay Deshaun Watson. And that's not going to probably come from Baltimore. Steve Biscotti, the owner of the Ravens, back at the owners meetings in Palm Beach back in March, he had said about that Deshaun Watson contract, I really wish they hadn't guaranteed all that money, but just because they did doesn't mean we have to play the game that way. He made it pretty clear that their intention was to not play the game that way. From these other contracts we're seeing come out, though, like the Murray deal being the most recent at that position, the guaranteed money is so significantly less, like $100 million less than it was for Deshaun Watson. That $230 guaranteed is something that we haven't seen. So I agree with you that so far the strategy from Lamar Jackson to be patient, be patient, be patient, it's actually been highly effective, even though it's not the strategy that an agent probably would have advised him to take. So far, Lamar Jackson's the big winner. I just do wonder if you go out there and you risk it and you roll the dice, barring some totally catastrophic injury, there will continue to be a market. But if he had some sort of injury that kept him out of football for a year, I don't know if the market looks like it did for Deshaun Watson, is my point. Deshaun Watson's contract might actually be the outlier in this scenario.
But there's two things that I think change all of this. Number one is the franchise tag is what everybody's going to go to, right? The franchise tag, because at the end of the year, if the Ravens don't have a deal with him, they could franchise him. He get the average of the top five quarterbacks. Looking at overthecap.com right now, the top five quarterback pay right now for next year, Deshaun Watson is scheduled to make, I can't believe this cap number, just short of $55 million. Dak is making just over $49 million. Patrick Mahomes just under $47 million. So we're talking about, and then Josh Allen at $39 million. So his number would come in the mid-40s. But there's one other variable here, and that's Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Mm-hmm. Every time he just sits around and waits, like, I think that Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, like, if Joe Burrow goes to the Super Bowl again this year and you're the Bengals, there's no number you're not going to pay. So the concept of, well, not everybody's going to do this, if you're the Bengals, you're not going to have a choice. Like, I genuinely think we're a year away from a $60 million a year quarterback. And when we get to $60 million a year, think about if Lamar had done a deal when we all thought he would have last year, he would have done a deal that was in the upper 30s probably. That was kind of the going rate. If he waits and does a deal going into next year, that could be in the 60s. Like, that is a wild difference from somebody just saying, I'm going to bet on him on myself. So like,
but will it be if he doesn't perform this season? Because there are still, and I think unfairly, but there are still questions about a quarterback who has an MVP on his resume. So it's kind of insane. But there's still questions there about his arm and some of the abilities with Lamar Jackson in terms of accuracy and utilizing that arm and not just his legs so much, because the legs, you're concerned, won't age as well for a quarterback that is still very, very young right now, but won't be young forever if you're handing him a contract of $60 million per. So that's the other risk, I guess, you're running if you're Lamar, that you go out this season. You were decimated last season. Your team was totally decimated, including yourself with battling injuries last season. You go out this season and it's ugly, even if you're out there healthy or your team's healthy. And then what are you doing to your contract value if you're being compared to the likes of Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, who I tend to agree with you, are going to exceed Aaron Rodgers' $50.1 per.
I mean, my counter to that would be desperation. And there are so many teams that are desperate to have a quarterback. We've seen it year in and year out where you'll overpay a mediocre quarterback if it keeps you from going back to the well and not sure what we have. Now, I know next year's draft class has a lot of quarterbacks we tend to think right now are going to be really good. But also, let's remember that there was a period where Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota were franchise savers, and they didn't do that. You know, Baker Mayfield was supposed to be a franchise saver. He didn't do that. Zach Wilson, I don't think, is going to pan out for the Jets. Like, I can keep going up and down the list of top overall picks in the draft that set, or top three picks, four picks in the draft that just don't pan out. It's too much of a crapshoot. So if I'm Lamar, I'm looking around thinking, even if I have a downtick in my performance, how desperate will the Seahawks be? How desperate will the Giants be next year, looking at that roster, and you got a coaching staff saying, hey, we got to get change coming in at the quarterback position? What better way to sell your fan base on your commitment to winning than overspending for a former MVP that can come in and right away make you a conversation on every talk show, make you a destination for primetime football? Like, I think these are all the other variables that sit in the court of Lamar Jackson. I honestly think, whether it's intentional or not, I kind of think he's playing chess and the rest of us are over here playing checkers, because we're looking at this saying, how could you not take the money that's in front of you? And he's looking at it saying, how can I not keep betting on myself to make more? And so far, I mean, it's working out for the guy, as long as there's a team desperate to acquire him.
Checkers is more fun than chess. Chess involves too much thinking.
I'm so bad at chess.
You know, everyone's bad at chess except for a few people. Checkers is more fun.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
However, Lamar Jackson, I don't know how much fun he's having with being in this situation, and he certainly won't be having fun. It's presumably, if they use the franchise tag, even though, like you said, he'd be being paid something like probably 45 under the franchise tag. Nobody really wants to be tagged, right? I've just never seen anybody in this situation. It's confusing to navigate this, Fitz, because we're just not used to it, and we're talking about a sport where quarterbacks of this caliber don't move. So yes, presumably, could he find himself in a different uniform if he doesn't play ball with the Ravens? happens, and if they decide that moving him, for tagging him and then moving him, is more advantageous to them than paying him in the long run. But like, we just never see it at this position, a player of this caliber. So it's pretty inconceivable to think that they won't work something out here. But it's such an unusual situation because he's representing himself. We're getting no leaks out of these negotiations either. And typically we would have an agent representing Lamar, and the agent would be utilizing the media, let's be real, to maybe benefit his client or her client to a certain degree. We're not getting any of that. It's very quiet on the negotiation front with the Ravens.
Well, and as I say in every sport, if you don't speak to the media will speak for you speculatively. Like, that's just the way we all work. You know, it's like, oh, they're not saying anything, so we'll figure out what that means. And you are 1,000% right, Amber, that it is unprecedented. And when you think about it, a couple of years ago, we were sitting here saying, or last offseason, we were sitting here saying, we've never seen anything like this Aaron Rodgers situation. This offseason, we're saying, we've never seen anything like this Deshaun Watson situation. I think next year, we're going to be saying the same thing about Lamar. Speaking of Deshaun, the real question is, what's the holdup on getting a decision? We'll get a breakdown on it. Try and get a best guess next. Spartan on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, at Sirius XM Channel 80. But it's neither Bart nor Hahn. It's Jason Fitz and Amber Wilson hanging out in for the guys. Amber, I need your expertise because, let's face it, you're smarter than I am, which isn't really a huge, like, that's not a line that most people put. Like, you don't get a blue ribbon for that. We give out too many blue ribbons. But I need your help trying to figure out what in the hell it's taken so long to get any sort of answers from Deshaun Watson. Because as we all know, because of the collective bargaining agreement this year, for the first time they're using an independent arbitrator that looks at the whole situation, and they get to make the initial ruling. Cases, the case got to that independent arbitrator. Everybody made their arguments, and now we're just sitting here waiting. And I thought Friday at 5:30, 5:45, we were going to get some sort of news dump and let us know. And now here we sit on, what, a Thursday, a week later. Still nothing. What's taking so long?
We quite literally all thought here, I think, at ESPN Radio that we were going to get some sort of Friday news dump as we headed into training camp for the vets to report this week. A lot of people concluded, hey, Sue Robinson, her decision's probably going to come down before training camp. What we now know is that Sue Robinson clearly doesn't give a damn about the NFL calendar, right? And not that she should. She's an independent arbitrator. She's not on anybody else's timeline. She can take all the time that she wants to make this decision. However, I am surprised that it is frankly taking this long. It's been 4 weeks, Jason, since that 3-day hearing with the NFL and the NFLPA and Deshaun Watson's representation. After that hearing, she asked for the briefs. They had, what, 2 weeks, I believe, to submit those briefs. They got the briefs in. So now we're weeks removed from that. It's not as if Sue Robinson is still a federal court judge where she would have an entire caseload, and so it could take months to render a decision. This is the case. This is her caseload. And from what I understand, she's got a team of lawyers working under her as well to help her in writing this opinion, researching these briefs and rendering this decision. So I'm surprised, frankly, that the process is taking as long as it has, even though I recognize that she's not on anybody else's timeline and that she's thorough and that she wants to get this right. And I'm imagining from her perspective as well, she knows that she's setting a precedent here, right? And this is the first time that she's been in this situation, which is why we have no idea how long it's going to take her to render a decision. We have nothing to go off of. We don't know at all what, frankly, the decision is even going to be. There's been a lot of conjecture out there. None of us know because we haven't seen her make a ruling in this sort of disciplinary hearing before. And because of that, when she finally does, now she's setting a precedent. And she knows that there's probably going to be a process that comes after that. Either side can appeal, assuming that she finds that there was a violation of the league's conduct policy. If there wasn't one, then the NFL cannot appeal. And obviously, Watson wouldn't appeal and he would just be playing. It's pretty inconceivable that that's what's going to happen here, Jason. So most likely she's going to find a violation. She'll issue some sort of suspension. Either side could appeal that suspension. And then there's also this word out there that there were reports that Watson's camp and the NFLPA are prepared to go to federal court if they need to. And so then they would actually have a federal judge involved in this in reviewing a decision by a former federal judge. She would be aware of all of that. She would know what could come next. She's any judge doesn't want to be, you know, appealed or overturned in a court of law. And so she's going to be very thorough, I would imagine, in how she makes this decision and her reasoning for making the decision. And yet I'm still surprised that we're a month out from that hearing and that we don't have one yet.
I feel like there's some moment where she's reading these briefs like I did my homework in high school. Like, you started it and you had real focus, and then, like, Stranger Things came on and she was like, okay, well, I'm just going to binge this. And then the next day she came in and she's like, today I'm committed. I'm going to go through these briefs. This is going to be, oh, I haven't watched this season of The Boys yet. Like, I'm just, I feel like there's got to be something that's getting in the way of all of it. But in the meantime.
Guessing, I'm guessing if Sue Robinson was distracted by Stranger Things and did her brief review like you did your homework in high school, I'm kind of thinking she would not have maybe become a federal judge and made it to this point and ever been named. And you know, it just seems like she maybe would have been more like, I don't know, like a musician turned sports radio host for ESPN, you know.
That's those are all fair things, you know. There's no doubt about that. Couldn't get me to do it. Like, that's another story for another time. Anyway, this does create one pickle, a little gherkin here, for the Browns. It should be noted, because they don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. And we'll get to that later in the show. They've got a real decision to make on how to split reps, what they're going to do, how to knock the rust off of Deshaun Watson. These are all layers of the conversation that are still left to happen. So at some point, they've got to have answers so they know how to prepare this position. We'll get into that.
Real quick, Fitz, also, I'm surprised that I would have thought that we would have a decision, not just for training camp, fine, but also because she knows that other process is coming next with an appeal, maybe federal court, whatever. And you would have thought that she would have wanted to leave room for that process before week one, before we get to week one, because this isn't beneficial to either side, right? The NFL has an interest in obviously protecting the Browns right now, the Browns ownership. I mean, I'm sure want this decision because they want to know who to move forward with in training camp, how to conduct everything moving forward, who's practicing with the first team and whatnot. And then, of course, Watson's camp wants to know, too, who wants to be in training camp practicing with the first team if you're not going to play with the first team for the entire season or 10 weeks or whatever it ends up being. And so everybody wants to know the decision. Again, I'm surprised that we don't have one. Maybe it's coming. Maybe it'll break during this show.
Well, and as Amber said at the beginning, the important lesson we've gotten about all of this is that she doesn't care about the NFL's timeline. We have learned that for sure. She doesn't care about the NFL's timeline. We do care about Vivid Seats, and Amber is going to tell you a little bit about them right now.
The 2022 baseball season, Fitz, is in full swing. And you can be there. You can catch all the action live with Vivid Seats. Get out to the ballpark and experience every home run, every web gem, and every walk-off. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you'll start earning free tickets from your very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one free. That's like getting 10% back on every ticket. From the box seats to the bleachers, Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices all summer long. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
All right, we're going to get you next caught up on all the news happening in the WNBA around Brittany Griner. The new updates, we'll tell you what they are next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz, Amber Wilson filling in for the guys. Amber, I'm a little shooketh, as I like to say, as our producer Renee came in and asked what I think is one of the weirdest questions I've ever been asked as an adult male. You guys into popcorn? Like, is there a line on this? Are there people out there, Renee, that actually don't like popcorn?
I would think so.
No, Amber?
I don't know who wouldn't like popcorn. Now, I do know popcorn, I have learned after having a child, that apparently you're not really supposed to let kids eat popcorn until they're four because it remains a choking hazard much longer than, like, any other food because I guess it gets stuck in your throat.
Not only as a four-year-old, though. Like, it's a choking hazard for everybody.
Well, it can be, right, but, like, four is, like, old. Like, that's up there in age for, like, to be worrying about, like, what specific foods. You know, most foods, it's cool, you know, after the kid's a couple years old kind of thing if you're cutting stuff up. Apparently, popcorn's like a hard no because it gets stuck places. And so I could see, I guess, an adult who's like, you know what, that stuff, it's too in my throat, it's too in my teeth. But I love popcorn, so I can't relate.
Renee, justifies, like, what the hell do you eat when you go to the movies?
Nachos, candy.
Nachos with, like, the fake cheese at the movies?
Yeah, fake
those
cheese
aren't
is
real
cool,
nachos.
Man. Fake
no,
cheese is
what is that stuff? No. I haven't been to a movie, Jason Fitz, and probably, I legit don't think I've been to a movie theater now in about 12 years.
Okay.
And I'm not exaggerating.
I mean, yeah. I'm sorry y'all can't find joy. Like, that's one of my, I think because it's one of the few times I know that, like, the phone's away and I'm actually going to focus on something and, like, nothing's going to get in the way of it. The only problem is I have the bladder of a small child, so I really do have to time out when I tinkle because I drink, like, I eat like a pig when I go to the movies. Like, it's going to be a large popcorn with tons of butter on it, and then, Renee, to your point, I go to the candy aisle and I get whatever, like Skittles or whatever, and I put it in with the popcorn so that it's all mixed in. You never know what you're going to get. And then I get the
Skittles
largest.
Skittles in popcorn?
Yeah, of any
candy. Like, if it was chocolate, I can understand.
No, I don't want
Skittles melted.
Like, what am I, a child?
I'm concerned for you.
I don't want, no, it needs to be hard candy, otherwise it melts.
No, but still. Candy and popcorn, that's weird.
Skittles,
dude,
is like chewy. Yeah, that's strange.
That's
no,
weird.
We
weird
just
at all, y'all.
We oh, it's so weird.
And you were
so
talking about
beyond
me?
Weird.
That's weird. I mean,
yeah, give it to, is Skittles and popcorn weird? 888-SAY-ESPN. It's weird. Skittles is weird. It's chewy too, and then the popcorn's crunchy, but it's too chewy, and the Skittles are stuck in your teeth. Now the popcorn's stuck in your mouth. I'm out on this.
No, I want
horrendous.
The combination of salty and sweet coming together, and I don't.
That's
want
why
anything.
You, the M&Ms would make yeah. sense.
Oh,
in
M&Ms are okay, but M&Ms are just is. General rule, kind of overrated to me. I mean, and I don't need anything melty. I don't want anything, like, my chocolate does not want to be melted. We'll keep breaking down all your popcorn needs next. Spartan Han on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80. Amber Wilson, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Apparently, our producer, Renee, doesn't really like popcorn, which I think is un-American, and I mentioned in the process of discussing that you know, sometimes when I'm in the movie theater, I like to dump my hard candies in with the popcorn, which would include Skittles. Now that they've gotten rid of sour apple and we're back to lime, I'm good with Skittles again. We made up. Put those in the popcorn. Apparently, that makes me the weird one. I don't know.
It does. Yeah. Well, and also, is a Skittle a hard candy? I consider, because Skittles are chewy.
It's got a shell.
Skittles
a
shell. Are, first of all, Skittles are amazing, but not
they
with
are.
Popcorn.
I concur. Skittles
no.
are wonderful. Don't get me wrong.
And I have, like, weird food takes, especially on this show. People have, like, ripped me apart for my food takes. I put Doritos in my, like, inside of a bagel with cream cheese, and I got ripped apart for that.
But Doritos inside a bagel with cream cheese.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Layer the cream cheese with the Doritos. Crush it down.
I can see that with Fritos
good.
More than Doritos.
Yeah, no.
I'd take either one of those. I don't think that sounds kind of interesting.
It
to
does,
me.
But
I'm all in on this.
But Bart was, like, out of his mind that I even said that.
Okay,
and he's,
well, Bart's always out of his mind. Right? The man takes a scooter to the studio. Like, let's just be real about it. Like, he's out of his mind.
What? I can get down with the inclusion of chips, potato chips in whatever form inside a bagel. I can get down with that far more so than Skittles and popcorn.
See, by the way, if you also want to next level your popcorn, you can put some Sour Patch Kids in there too. And so now you've got sweet, sour, and salty all in your bites. Never know what's
going
to hit
you. Yeah, but
you
see, I can
it's
get
the
with
texture,
that. That's fine, though. To me, that's fine. The Skittles is what throws me off.
Okay, well, I can't help it that you have the palate of a child, and obviously I am I'm chefing this
palate.
Movie experience. That's
clearly.
What we know. Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, Amber Wilson, Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. Want to get you an important update as we continue to get more information on Brittany Griner. It was revealed yesterday that negotiations are ongoing, that we have offered a deal to Russia that would bring Griner home and another jailed American, Paul Whelan. It is today the Kremlin has warned the U.S. that these negotiations should be done quietly and without fanfare. A Kremlin spokesperson said, quote, "We know such issues are discussed without any release of information. Normally, the public learns about it when the agreements are already implemented." So, Amber, obviously, we're hearing some information, which is rare. And now the Kremlin's telling us not to give out any information. So I wonder if we're just going to go back to silence. But this story continues to develop.
Well, I guess over there, when you don't have a free press, things work a little bit differently, Jason Fitz, and it's probably a disconnect between one of the many, between Russia and America and how we operate over here, right? Because, yes, our press is reporting on these things. Our press is trying to gather as much information as it can. And these leaks are getting out for whatever reason. And I think one of them probably would be, if our government is releasing some of this information to the media, it would probably be, hey, we are trying. And there is probably messaging attached to that, because you have seen the LeBron Jameses of the world come out and be critical of this situation with Brittany Griner, knowing nothing, right? Where, hey, none of us can know, right? We're not going to be privy to these sorts of negotiations. So there can be this perception on the outside looking in where our country's not doing anything to get one of our citizens and a very high profile citizen home, when in reality, this administration is saying, we are doing things and we are in active negotiations. And there's probably a lot to this story that we don't know. So there remains developments in this story. I am glad to hear that things are being done. I am comforted by that. I have been frustrated, Fitz, with a lack of coverage and information concerning the Brittany Griner situation for a very long period of time. She has been detained now for over 5 months in Russia. I mean, it's pretty inconceivable when you consider who she is and what she means. And it's just very hard to digest that whole situation that she's going through. And so at least now we have some new information that these governments are actively in talks. It gives you some semblance of hope.
I think one thing to stress to everybody is that according to our government, we still consider it to be wrongfully detained.
Wrongfully detained.
Right, which is an important note here because, you know, I'll go back to TJ Quinn, the ESPN investigative reporter, has done a great job of reporting on this from the outset. And one thing he said in the very beginning was that there are going to be steps in this process, likely including a guilty plea, likely including a conviction, likely including all of these things to get. And everything TJ Quinn has said from the outset has turned out to be the way this process is playing out. She has pled guilty. She has gone through this trial process. She's going to be sentenced, and there is negotiation ongoing. All of that to say, we don't know how much of any of that is true because none of the information has been given to us. We're basically relying on the Russians to be giving us the accurate information as to what's going on right now. And we, as a population at times, are holding Russian courts to the same standard as American courts. And they're
just
very,
so
very different. So I just would implore everybody, when you hear things like guilty plea, we don't have any information yet. We need Amber to continue to research it and wait.
Well, and she continues to testify. She doesn't know how the stuff got into her luggage. So she continues to essentially maintain her innocence that way. She testified that she signed documents that under duress. Obviously, she has no idea what they said. They took her phone away. She was trying to use Google Translate. She had no idea what she said. She was forced to sign documents, that she was given no translator. She wasn't read her rights, which obviously a very different system in Russia than it is in America. There's no reason to slide into my DMs and tell me why you think Brittany Griner was guilty of all of this stuff, which for some reason happens every time we bring up Brittany Griner. It is the strangest thing. Their system is not the same as ours. She has been wrongfully detained. Our government continues to say it.
And it's alarming to me how many people just don't want to listen to what we have to say on it and only want to listen to the sides that they think make what they're saying more compelling as a point. We just need to get information, y'all. I will continue to say, read smart people and get the best information. In the meantime, speaking of smart people, the 49ers not acting like it right now. They're blowing it at quarterback. I'll tell you why next. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio.